summarize our last, just to summarize our last point, and it's important because from here we get the picture of what the Sheva Mitzvot are, what the seven commandments are. Because here you have an open chapter in Deuteronomy where God states that he states to Moses that these other nations are going to be driven out because of their evil practices, which are an abomination. And the evil practices which it lists are sorcery, magic, superstition, witchcraft, etc. Okay? All those supernatural things. So you see that God considers that an abomination. And yet, according to the final halacha, that is not included in the Sheva Mitzvot. It's not included in the seven laws. So the question, of course, is why not? I mean, if God says it's abomination, you don't need anything bad. I mean, obviously, it's something which a person shouldn't do. So there we explained that, and then here's where the precise definition of what the Sheva Mitzvot are, and I think it's important to keep it in our minds. The Sheva Mitzvot, these seven themes, actually, as we said, are not instruments of individual perfection. That's not their purpose, okay? What they do is they describe the minimal societal level of existence. These seven things all together, seven components, put together, describe, comprise what comprise the minimal level of societal existence. So it's a societal phenomenon. These are not vehicles of personal perfection. Of course, that's not to say that if you keep them, there's no perfection in keeping them. Of course, that's not what we mean. We mean that essentially, all right, there are a mitzvah may have a reason, but there are many to each individual mitzvah as well. But there is an essential purpose in a mitzvah. And over here in the seven mitzvos, the seven commandments, the essential purpose is to describe a minimal level of societal existence. Their purpose is not as vehicles of individual perfection. So then we have, now this is extremely important to understand this. Many people are confused about this, and therefore they ask, well, how can you have a religion with these seven laws? First of all, that's a mistake, because the seven laws include, as we know, many, many laws which, as I said, and they quoted me in the article in Hadassah, that a person can spend their entire life and not exhaust those areas. And there are areas of the Talmud that deal with what is considered, for instance, stealing includes a worker. If he's working for someone, he can eat he's allowed to eat certain foods at certain times while he's working, and not paying someone, and what's considered hiring somebody. It's infinite, basically. All these various laws and the study of these laws is infinite. I mean, the person can spend an entire lifetime there. But that's not the point. The point is, what are these seven laws? The essential purpose of these seven laws is to describe a minimal level of societal. They are not vehicles of individual perfection. And here is the case. For instance, witchcraft, superstition. If a person will say, well, let's see, a black cat crossed my path today, I'm not going to go out. I'm not going to cross that path. Okay, so that's a violation of the Torah if a person believes such a thing. Now, it should have been Noach. What if a Ben Noach does believe that kind of superstition? Is he in violation of the seven? The answer is no. In terms of a societal, minimal level of societal existence, there is no violation. Is he removing himself from God? Absolutely, because God himself states that doing these practices are an abomination, okay? Because it is maintaining that there are other forces besides God himself. So it's an abomination, and it's something which leads to idolatry. It's it really is the idolatrous in nature, although it's not the full-fledged idolatry, where if you commit the full-fledged idolatry, then you're in violation of the basic societal level of existence. Okay? So this distinction should really be clear, that the things that even things in the Torah which God says are an abomination, nevertheless, it doesn't mean that they are part of the seven basic mitzvos, because those seven basic mitzvos are components which describe a certain kind of phenomena, which is a societal phenomena. An individual who is seeking perfection will keep, of necessity, many, many mitzvos of the Torah. And among them, of course, the ones that God considers an abomination, which is the avoidance of seances and the searching the dead and superstition and all those other things. But those are vehicles of individual perfection. So when the Ben Noach looks at the Torah, he looks at the Torah under two different lights. And one way he looks at the Torah, well, what is he has an obligation to live in a society and to establish a correct society. So there he looks at the seven themes, okay, seven commandments, seven themes. Then again, a Ben Noach that's interested in approaching God and having a worthwhile existence, a truly worthwhile existence, would have to keep, of necessity, many, many mitzvos of the Torah, and we explain which ones those are. Those which are essentially involve perfection, like the avoidance of superstition, as we mentioned here, or even the avoidance of lashon hara, the evil tongue, and various mitzvos. So the religion of the Ben Noach is a very complex, very deep one, and very pervasive one, and very involved. But the societal laws, that's a separate category. That's a separate category in terms of society. But for the individual Ben Noach that's seeking perfection will be involved in many, many mitzvos, many, many more than the seven. Okay, seven is societal, and you have individual. So you have two categories, societal and individual. Societal are seven themes. Individual, there are many, there he will be involved in many, many of the mitzvos of the Torah. Okay? Among them, we mentioned prayer. As I mentioned, Rabbi Feinstein says that if a Ben Noach is in a state of emergency, in a state of need, he must pray, because that's part of his perfection and his belief in God, that God can alter the situation, God can change the situation for him. If he doesn't turn to God, he lacks in perfection. But not societal. There we're speaking individual. So we must remember to differentiate between Ben Noach as a societal system and Ben Noach as an individual in search of God. Okay? Those are the two distinct categories.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
In relation to what you're saying there about the two, one, the societal and then individual, developing and perfecting.
Right.
Now, I was thinking back into the text of Genesis where God said no less than three times, and God spake unto Noah, saying, and he talks about the covenant. Now, you have this same term in relation to Moses, where God spake unto Moses, saying. And according to your tradition, I believe that when God spake unto Moses, it's not only the literal words, but it's the halakha that goes with it.
Right.
Now, do we make this same application here, that God's not only just giving words to Moses, to Noah, but he's giving him the halakha that goes with it?
Mm-hmm. Now, there's no doubt about it. Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
But that halakha over there are the basically the seven, those are, that halakha is the seven societal laws. That was what was given to Noah. The seven laws. Okay. All right, so now we have, this basic distinction, this basic definition of what the seven laws are, as you see, immediately derivable from the Talmud itself. Because the Talmud, and that's what I try to explain to you, the Talmud is the study of the Torah with the advantage of the scholars and all the knowledge that they received and they kept very carefully from Sinai. So therefore, over here, they make recourse to that chapter in Deuteronomy. That chapter in Deuteronomy, where God says this is the other nations are doing abomination, is clearly from where we derive that the seven mitzvot are not individual perfection, but they have to do with the societal. But individual, that's something else. And the Torah, in Deuteronomy, the Torah is merely describing the fact that these people lived a kind of a life that was so imperfect, so far from perfection, that that basically they were deserving of being driven out of the land. Okay, that's a judgment of that's a judgment between God and man. You see, in other words, this is another important distinction. There's a judgment between God and man, and then there is human judgment. There are really two systems of judgment in the Torah. Okay, and several times in the Bible, the Torah says that the Bible says that God says that if the court does not if the court does not punish a person, then God Himself will punish that person. So there are two kinds of laws. There is the societal law, and then there is God's law. In Deuteronomy, where God says He will drive those nations out because they've degenerated into a level of existence which is worthless through the fact that they were so involved to such an extent in these mystical trends that their existence is not worthwhile. That's a judgment of God. But that does not mean that in the setting up of the societal laws, that these constitute those seven societal laws, okay? That's God's judgment. That is closer in line with individual perfection. All right? That means true perfection, man as he truly relates to God. That's God's judgment. So you could have a whole society where even if as a society they kept these seven laws, but if they deteriorated, degenerated, their existence became such that they were worthless, then God's judgment could, of course, be against them and remove them. But that's a separate system. That's not the same thing. Just because people can reach such a low level of existence through involvement in the mystical does not mean that if an individual is superstitious that the Ben Noach court should kill him. That's a different kind of a thing. That's between him and God. That has to do essentially with individual perfection. And, of course, God's judgment is individual. God's judgment is also collectively. If you have a group of individuals that whose lifestyle has deteriorated to the point where they have no relationship with God, they've turned away from God, even if technically they kept these seven societal laws, then God's judgment could be that they should be removed. Okay, and that's exactly what the Torah is saying. But the seven laws is a specific system that man is obligated to uphold in order to create the minimal level of society. But individual perfection goes far beyond that, and there we get involved of necessity in many, many, many of the 613, which have essentially to do with perfection. Okay, so this piece of Talmud really defines it. From studying this piece of Talmud, you arrive at an accurate definition of what precisely the meaning of the seven mitzvot are. Okay. Now let's, what I'd like to do is, if there was a question, I'll take it. If not, we'll just move ahead in the next little piece of life. All right? Okay. Okay, now we have another, we'll take the short little piece of Talmud here, and then we'll again try to unravel it and understand exactly what it means. Okay. The statement is as follows. Rabbi Eliezer says, even on Kilayim. All right, Kilayim is, what is Kilayim? Kilayim is a Torah law, and it's called, the people refer to it usually as Shatnez and Kilayim, but in specific, what it means is like this. Kilayim is, for Ben Noach, it has to do with the mixing of species. Okay, essentially. That's the term that would include the generic term, where it would include the entire genus of the commandments, which is the prohibition against mixing of the species. All right. Now, you know that, for instance, Ben Israel is not permitted to wear a garment that's made of wool and of linen. Okay. Let's forget about the why. The Torah doesn't say why, but let's just accept this for a moment. Now, there is another there are other forms of this same violation of the mixing. All right. Other forms are, for instance, the Ben Israel is not permitted to have the fruit of the vine, grow the fruit of the vine with have them growing side by side, closely together, with grains. There must be a separation between them. Or even mixing the seedlings of the grains, growing them together, is also prohibited. But this the Ben Noach is not involved in. But the Ben Noach is involved in two forms of this general commandment, which is not to mix the species. What are the two forms that the Ben Noach is involved in? It's interesting. He is not permitted to crossbreed animals. That, again, is one of the forms of the violation. And he's also not permitted to crossbreed the vegetation. Now, by crossbreed is a loose term. I'm going to explain what it means. It's not exactly technically crossbreeding. But what it means is to take two trees and to graft one tree onto the other. Okay. This Rabbi Eliezer says the Ben Noach is not permitted to do these two things. He is not permitted, for instance, to produce an animal which is like a mule. Okay, a mule is a crossbreed between the horse and the cow. A horse and a donkey. Excuse me. A horse and a donkey. Yeah, my zoology is not quite. Horse and a donkey. Okay. So that he's not permitted to do. He's not permitted to create a mule, but to take one animal and to have it.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Lawrence Ledford said he could tell you were from New York.
Why is that?
Because nobody down south would ever try to.
Right.
Okay. So you let it out the bag real quick. Okay, we're hanging up now.
All right. Okay, so that means to forcibly take an animal and to force it over the other animal, position it over the other animal in the sexual act. That would be the prohibition. Okay, it doesn't mean that if two animals are cohabitating, it's not a problem. But he's not permitted. To mount one animal on the other, that's the violation. And the same thing with the trees. In other words, he would not be permitted to graft, for instance. I mean, if you do a little gardening, which you know, I'm up north, I do sometimes. If you go to buy an apple tree, you'll find many times that what they do is the apple tree is grafted to another tree. I don't know exactly which one they use. I don't know if it's an oak or whatever. It's no. What they do is they graft. The reason is because they take the base of another tree, which grows better, maybe, and then they graft onto that the apple tree. So it grows better because the bottom tree is the feeder, and then but it will produce apples because the upper tree is really an apple tree. That is precisely the prohibition that the Ben Noach is involved in. He's not allowed to do that. He's allowed to buy it once it was done, but he's not allowed to do that. He's not allowed to do the act of grafting. Okay, so those are the only two forms that the Ben Noach is involved in. He is permitted to wear shatnez. He's allowed to wear linsey woolsey. You know, he's allowed to use blankets that are made out of linen and wool. And he could buy clothes that have linen and wool. He doesn't have to take them to the shatnez tester. There's no problem over there. But with regard to the actual being involved in mounting one animal, one species on another species, or in grafting one species on another, there he is prohibited. Now, just to know the basics. Fundamentally, Ben Noach should know this, and that is that the prohibition is, interestingly enough, it's a fruit tree together with any other fruit tree, like an orange or with a cheese, with peach or any kind of grafting like that. You're allowed to graft subspecies, which means we have different varieties. Varieties are permissible to graft. But then the question is, of course, what is a variety? What's not a variety? It's not so easy to determine. But technically, if there's different varieties, different colors or things like that, minute differences don't really count. It's only the differences in species, essentially. Okay, that's where the prohibition comes in. Again, trees that are fruit-bearing and trees that are not fruit-bearing. There, of course, there is always a violation. But it is permissible to graft two trees that are non-fruit-bearing. That's interesting, like an oak and a maple. There is no violation. It's interesting, but that's the way it is. So it's fruit-bearing and non-fruit-bearing, and within the fruit-bearing, the grafting would be prohibited. But the non-fruit prohibition, I'm just mentioning this because I think at least, you know, we're studying the laws, we should at least have know what they are, what the basic law is. And this is a law, by the way, that is retained according to the final halachic formulation. So that this is a practical law. A Ben Noach cannot be involved in gardening if part of his duties as a gardener is to graft the trees. He would be prohibited, wouldn't be allowed to do that. He could sell them once they are grafted. The violation is only in the action, but there's no prohibition upon the use of such a tree once it has been grafted. I myself planted an apple tree which was grafted. You're allowed to buy it, you're allowed to use it, but you're not permitted to actually graft it. Okay. So that's the Rabbi Eliezer's statement. Now, of course, it's not very difficult to understand why it's only the actual grafting. Why, for instance, the other forms are not included. I mean, the other forms are extensions of the basic form, which is the mixing of the species themselves, the living species themselves, either in the animal kingdom or the vegetative kingdom, okay, in the plant life. So this is the form. We'll explain a little bit further why the extensions are not included for the Ben Noach. For instance, the growing together of various varieties of wheat or things like that, why those weren't included, or the vineyard, mixing the vineyard with the grains, why that wasn't included. We'll get to that in a moment. I think we'll be able to explain why that's not included in the for the Ben Noach. But, of course, first we're faced with a more important question, and that is the number again. Because we said that there are seven laws. Now it would appear there is no way to if you're going to include the mixing of the species. Because, you see, the according to the position that maintained that superstition or the sorcery, magic is included, that wasn't the problem, because we explained that that would all come under the heading of idolatry. These are extensions of idolatry. And we explained that the seven laws, seven mitzvot are not counted like the 613 are counted, but they're themes, basically. So that's no problem. But this certainly is a problem, because where are we going to include this one? This one is a totally new concept. This is the concept of not mixing the species, and that cannot be included under any of the seven, at least to my mind. I mean, you can't include it under the idolatry or sexual prohibitions or murder or eating a limb of a living animal, or setting up courts, or stealing, or blasphemy. Has nothing to do with any of those things. So you cannot say it's included under one of the seven headings.
Rabbi?
Yes.
A statement and a question on that. If we go back to the earlier chapters of Genesis again, chapter 6, and you are familiar, or actually chapter 9, you're familiar with the passage where every move that liveth shall be food for you, even as the
right.
Green herbs have I given
Noah.
You.
Yeah, that's in Noah, right?
All right, that's in Noach,
right.
The section of Noach.
Right.
Now, if you take this passage here as referring to the foods and the green herbs as to the trees, you could get the mixing in on that.
But it doesn't say it's a prohibition to...
I understand that, but it's if you take the minority ruling there, where you know they spoke about the green herbs, that there are things that are good for you and things that are bad for you.
What do you mean?
Do you remember that passage?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you do that, could that not under that heading? This discussion could it not come under that heading, the limb of a living creature? Yeah, well, because, see, here, that is setting the stage. Every moving thing that liveth shall be food for you, even as the green herbs have I given you.
Right.
But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, you shall not eat. Now, so what he's doing, he's telling you the positive aspect of what to eat, and then the negative is what not to eat.
Right.
Under that heading, I could say, I could see where you would get into the area of the seeds, the zara, is that the word?
Yeah.
The seed aspect of the mixing of seeds.
No, because, well, no, let's just take a look at that verse. You see, let me put this, whenever you have a prohibition, it's got to be clear, it must be clear in the verse. Otherwise, you could extend it to almost anything. But the verse that you're referring to is in Noah, that's in Genesis 9. Now, all it says is that anything that creepeth on the ground and all the fish of the sea is in your hand. Then it says, anything that creepeth for you shall be for food, just as the grass, just as the green grass, I've given you everything. But then of course, says the flesh, and that's referring to the... to the prohibition against the limb, but it doesn't say anywhere about mixing one species with another, which really has nothing to do with eating. Because if you're a gardener and you're producing those mixes, then you're not even eating them. Like you're just taking one tree and grafting it onto another tree. You're not eating it at all. What the verse means over here that I've given it to you as the grass, it's because God said in the beginning. He said that he says, I've given you all the grass of the fields to eat. So it doesn't indicate anywhere about, for instance, I mean, mounting a two animals like a donkey and a horse. I mean, that doesn't mention that. It would be you can't. In other words, it's got to be really derivable, essentially, from the verse, and the verse doesn't indicate any kind of violation of mixing species. Which has nothing to do with eating, okay? As a matter of fact, you're allowed to eat them. You'd be allowed to eat a mule. There would be no violation for Ben Noach to eat a mule, just like there's no violation for Ben Israel to eat a grafted orange, a seedless orange or whatever, all these different varieties that you have today. No violation against the benefiting from them. You're just not allowed to do the action, okay? So it's relatively impossible to do this under any of the seven... on any of the seven themes. It just doesn't fit there at all. So the question is, why isn't it eight? All right? And that's a question that is a powerful question at the moment. This is the first time where we find violations that just do not fit under the seven.
All right.
Okay?
We're going to have to change the tape. All right, I understand.